were created to worship. And if you stop and think about it, everybody is worshiping in some form or another. Whether we're bowing to the false idols of this world or the true and living God, that old 60s singer that had a little brush with religion wrote a good song about it, even though he didn't follow through with his life in the Lord. Bob Dylan wrote this song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. And Romans 6:16 says, "Whoever you yield your members servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey. Sin unto death or God unto righteousness." Can you say amen? Amen. But you gotta serve somebody.
Yes.
Amen. You say, "I don't serve anybody." You know, I was in jail, not because I did anything wrong. I used to have a ministry in prison ministry in downtown Tampa. Assistant warden attended our church, those guys in there, you know, when we had our first day, I said, "You guys, you know, there are guys in here that say literally, nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me. I got the big tattoo. I got the big muscles. I'm my own man. I'm my own boss." Amen. Nobody tells me what to do. I said, "What a lie the devil has told you."
Yeah.
Everybody's telling you what to do.
Right.
Amen. You don't eat when you want to. You eat when they tell you to. You don't eat what you want to. You eat what they give you. You get up and go to bed, lights out, when they tell you. I can walk out of here today because I'm doing what God tells me to do. Amen. But you can't leave this place. I said, "What a lie the devil has told you. You can do anything you want to do. No consequence. You're the man." No, you're not the man. You're the prisoner. You're locked up in this place. I don't like it in here. I don't like it. Amen. I let God tell me what to do, and it gives me freedom. It doesn't put me in a box. Can you say amen? It sets me free. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, just thought I'd run that by you. If you ever get in jail, amen, it's not the place to be. It's better to follow Jesus
than
to end up in jail somewhere. You know all you have to do? You don't have to do anything but drink and drive to end up in that place. You don't have to be some desperado criminal. All you have to do is be out with a bunch of people that somebody decides. My Sunday school teacher, 6 months, 7 months after I got saved, went to prison. Because he went through a terrible divorce, he got depressed, he went out drinking by himself and ended up with two other guys. The bar's all closed, they all have a lot of liquor in them, but they want to get some more liquor. They stop at an all-night convenience store. They said, "We're going to go in here and buy a case of beer." He said, "All right." He's driving them. They go in and with an armed robbery, rob the store. And guess what? He got the exact same sentence that they did. And the fact that he was telling the judge, "It was not my intent. If you drive the getaway car in an armed robbery, you're going to jail."
Right.
Just like the guy that went in and pulled the gun. And all you have to do is be out with that crowd that says, "Nobody tells me what to do." Well, I want to be in the crowd that says, "The Lord tells me what to do." Can you say amen? Not because he's putting me in a box, but because he wants to keep me free. We love you tonight. Amen. Have we got time for one more? Do we need one more? Have y'all sung enough? Y'all sung enough? You've sung enough. All right. Their throats are tired. You can be seated. Thank you for singing so well tonight. And happy birthday again. Amen. To the birthday girl. Miss Sherry is a birthday. You know how I know she's a birthday girl? Can I show you why she's a birthday girl? Because see, she don't have to wear no shoes on her birthday. Hallelujah. God, say happy birthday to Sherry tonight. Praise God. Happy birthday, Miss Sherry. We love you. We wanted to do more for you, but it's hard to catch you long enough. Still, you're a busy lady, but we'll make it up to you. Praise God. We do love and appreciate Sherry. She's my girl Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Amen. She's our in a very real sense, she takes care of a lot of business things for us and helps us with our insurance. And God just give us a good lady to help us out here and a good guy with her. Hooked them up how many years ago? I think they were around 24 when they married. Wow, young love, first love. Amen. And it's still burning. Well, it's at least still there anyway. Praise God. No, it's a good love. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. We're getting ready to be married for 47 years this Tuesday. 47 years ago, we said, I do. And God honored it. And we're grateful to have survived all of the pressures of ministry and the temptations of the world and made it to this point to prove a point that if two people love God, there's security in your relationship. It takes both of you loving God, but there's security in your relationship. So I encourage my wife to stay close to God. She encourages me to stay close to God. I don't want to ever be a stumbling block, because the safety that we look for spiritually and in our marriage and in our life is all in staying close to Him. Praise God. Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. We're glad for our visitors. Glad to see you back again. Praise the Lord. You stay young and slender, and I just get older all the time. But we're glad that you're back tonight. I'm glad to see these young people tonight. I love young people. Praise God. And we're glad you're here tonight. We hope you enjoy this service, and we hope it's not one of those things that that you just say, boy, I can't wait to get out of here. But we pray you'll learn something from God's Word tonight. The Lord is a good God. I was young once, believe it or not. Amen. Praise God. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to the book of Beginnings, if you would, for just a little while this evening. We share a Bible study in the Word of God. I was told something this morning that really blessed me after the morning service, and Brother Mike Shiren said, when I leave here, I have learned something. I have seen something that I didn't see before. And I really, that blessed me to know that people are picking up something from God's Word that they take out of here with them. Not just a blessing, a goose pimple, a liver shiver, but they actually learn something from the Word of God. I held a meeting in South Carolina years and years and years ago, and we had three nights on the same subject in a series of meetings. I'm not going to call it revival. It wasn't, because the first morning we began those services, I heard the musicians saying, are you coming back tonight? And they'd never even heard me preach, so they didn't get a chance to judge me one way or the other, but they just didn't care nothing about coming back. So I heard one musician ask the other, and they were pretty bold and loud about it. Are you coming back tonight? Because I was going to begin the service that evening. And the guy said, no, I don't think I'm coming. He said, I'm not coming either. So we didn't have too many people for those meetings, but we taught for three nights. And at the end of three nights of teaching the Word of God, amen, something really broke loose. The pastor's wife was the first one that came down for prayer on that final evening, and God just to give her a Holy Ghost hissy. Has anybody ever seen a Holy Ghost? That's when people get set free, and we react to that spiritual reality in our life with our emotions, and it's not emotionalism. It's an emotional reaction to a spiritual reality, and she just got her honey bucket turned over. Everybody say her honey bucket turned over. Some people, you wouldn't even know they had a honey bucket. Maybe a vinegar bottle, but not a honey bucket. Can you say amen? But she got free in the Lord. And the greatest thing beyond that happened was a lady came down that had been in an automobile accident, and the vertebrae in her neck had been fused together, and it was inoperable. They couldn't fix it. And she was on the highest level of pain pills that they could possibly give her. She was addicted, but the pain was so bad, they didn't worry about the addiction. They were just trying to allow her to cope. So each day was to get so numb that she couldn't feel not only the pain to some degree, but she couldn't feel anything else. And it was a terrible situation to be in. And she said, and after a tolerance had built to the pain medication, now the pain medication wasn't even dulling the pain to where it was even hardly bearable. And I remember she came down for prayer that third night in this kind of bummer of a meeting, it looked like. But God's Word is powerful. The Bible said it's quick and powerful, which means it's alive. Amen. And full of power and potential. And she came down that third night for prayer. And when she came down for prayer and told me about the bones being fused, we laid hands on her, and I just thought of Ezekiel down in that boneyard when bones obeyed the word of the Lord, and bone came to his bone, and I spoke to those bones in the name of the great authority, and that's Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. And we didn't hear any more about that until several months later, and I got a letter in the mail. It had been almost a year, I think, about 9 or 10 months, and the letter said, Brother Venable, I just want you to know, and told me the whole story about the fusing, the accident, the pain medication. She said, after that night, I haven't had one more pain pill. Not only free from the pain medication and healed, I didn't go through any withdrawal. I'm not addicted to pain medication or anything like that. And the Lord set me free. Thank you for coming and teaching us the Word of God. Praise God. That's what is here in the book, in the Bible, because this is about God. Hallelujah. And nothing's impossible with God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me for just a few moments to the book of Genesis. We're going to begin reading from Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And before we do that, I'm going to just make a few statements here tonight. I believe that we're living in the last of the last days. I believe the paramount message for the church, among other messages that should be on the top shelf, one of them should be being ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. We're doing a teaching on WMAF Radio, which is going to the World Wide Web right now, on how to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. This is primarily, in my heart at least, to reach unreached people, to reach people that don't know Jesus as their Savior, to invite them to listen to the Word of God and come to know Jesus as their Savior. But secondarily, it's to the church, because soul winning is not just reaching lost people through the ministry, but getting the church in a position that our own life and witness begins to reach other people, that your life and mine become so fruitful in the Lord. Amen. That other people are brought to Christ because of our testimony. And maybe if we didn't win them to the Lord, we didn't get to pray the sinner's prayer with them. At least our life has sown something into their life. You know, one plants, the Bible said, and another waters. But ultimately, it's God that gives the increase. And our life as Christians is to be part of not only the harvest, but part of the planting process and part of the watering process. Amen? So we're encouraging people to begin to live their life in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. I believe we're living in the last days. In fact, I believe we're living in the last of the last days. I believe the coming of the Lord is at the doors. As the Bible said, when certain events happen, it's nigh to thee, even at the doors. It's that close. I believe there's signs in the world, but and we can cite the earthquakes, and we can cite the tornadoes, we can cite the tidal waves, we can cite weather conditions and cataclysmic events, which because they're the most sensational. But I believe we need to look around at the church to understand some signs that say that we're in the last of the last days. The Bible said that in these last days, a lot of things are going to happen. It's going to happen very, very quickly. I appreciated the email that you sent to me talking about how quick things are changing. On the way in, I read your email that at a Presbyterian church here in our city, they're teaching a course in Buddhism. Because it said it's a flexible religion, and you can more or less fit that into your faith very comfortably. And if you use this Bible as the basis for your faith, it won't fit comfortably. It won't fit uncomfortably. In fact, it won't fit at all. Can you say amen? Amen? We're in a generation of people that believe in universalism. In fact, there have been preachers. Carlton Pearson for years was right on with the scripture. But he decided, you said, Brother Vimble, you're naming names. Hey, their tapes are out there. It's no secret what they believe. If they're bold enough to proclaim error, I'm bold enough to proclaim their name for speaking error. Can you say amen? 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 So listen. Everything I say, I'm going on record. There's tapes and discs, and you can print out stuff and all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you want to nail me, I'm easily nailed because I'm on record. Amen? And once you go on record and you open your big mouth and you start talking, then you've got to back it up with the Word of God or back down and get right. But we can't stay in the middle anywhere. And at least we know where people stand. Amen. Some people, you don't know where they stand. And some people are very bold about it. Universalism simply believes that somehow or another, what Jesus did on the cross, whether you accept him or not, we're all going to end up in heaven. The Bible said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So we got the Word of God and we got New Age thinking. It would be great to think we're all just going to go to heaven somehow without repenting of our sin and trusting Christ. The Bible's, and I quoted one verse. Actually, all you need is one verse to refute that. We don't need a great course in theology. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Amen. You believe, you trust Christ, you repent, you go to heaven. Amen. You reject Christ, follow the world, never repent, you go to hell. It's that simple. It's not a big theological thing that has to be discussed by a bunch of panels. It's whether or not what Jesus taught is true or not. Whether he is who he said he was and if his words are true today. Whether the Bible is the inerrant word of God or something people just made up. I hear people all the time say, well, I believe it this way. And I thought, how did you get through school? How did you graduate from elementary school? Can you imagine somebody going up to a teacher? I don't know, when you were in elementary, did they use oranges and apples at all? Some of you can't remember. I can remember. I know it was a long time ago, even for you guys, but it wasn't that long ago. Two oranges and two apples equals what? Well, I just don't believe it that way. You couldn't graduate from second grade. Because truth is truth, whether you believe it. Believing truth don't make it true. Not believing truth doesn't make it in error and false. Can you say amen? Truth is truth. And Jesus said to the church, sanctify them through thy word, for thy word is truth. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I aim to go to heaven. I'm not just in it for the temporary blessing. Amen. I got a Buick out there that's running real well. It doesn't have to, I don't need a BMW. If you want to buy me one, I'll drive it. Actually, I'll sell it and get me a pickup truck and a Buick. Amen. I don't need that to be happy and fulfilled. If you need it to be happy and fulfilled, it's fine. Amen. If you don't compromise to do that, I just simply don't need it. I want to be free in Jesus. I want to represent him well. Amen. I'm traveling light because when I say we're in the last of the last days, I'm not putting my roots deep into a world that the Bible said is transient and passing. I believe that we can identify with a man that was the eighth from Adam. I really believe Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I believe there's a coming where he stands on Mount Olivet. I believe it's one advent, the second coming, consisting of two events. Amen. There's a coming where we meet the Lord where? According to 1 Thessalonians, in the air. There's a coming when he stands upon Mount Olivet. There's a coming where he stands and all the world is saddened because he's here. Because that world, at that coming, has soundly, solidly rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now they know that he is coming not to save. He's coming to judge the earth. When John saw him in the book of Revelation, his hair was as wool. His eyes were as a burning fire. That doesn't mean X-ray vision, being able to look into your heart like Superman could see through things. It's not that kind of eyes. It's fiery indignation. God has a right to be angry with those that reject and resist the gospel that cost his son his life in a suffering, torturing death on Calvary. God has the right to be upset when people say, you know, I'd rather have sin than your son. I'd rather choose my sinful friends than your blood that was shed for me. When it talks about the wrath of God, it's not talking about God losing his temper. It's talking about justifiable anger. It's talking about God exercising justice. So his eyes as fire was, he's coming to judge the earth. He's standing as the judge of the universe. His hair was as wool. One thing you don't hear in the modern, postmodern world, so-called pseudo-gospel today, is the fact that there is still a judgment coming. And God is still holy. He can be a loving, forgiving God and still be holy. You don't have to lose one to have the other. In his holiness, God is obligated to judge our sin. And he has judged it. He's judged it in his son. Amen? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was on Him. That's why He claims the exclusive right as the Savior. The exclusive right. Without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. There's no back door to heaven. No way to circumvent the cross. He has the right to claim the right. They had one minister that did the faith well on Larry King. Had several that was a shame and a disgrace to the faith. Amen. On national TV, we broadcast to the world that Jesus isn't the only way to God. And then in a little retraction on a website about the size of a little bitty ad, we say, you know, I really shouldn't have done that. Well, if you really shouldn't have done it, go back on Larry King and say, I got to get back on here. I messed up, and I messed up big time, and I want to clarify something. Amen? Amen? So 30,000 people come to that church on Sunday morning, 100,000 watches on television, and nobody seems to be upset about the fact that preachers stand behind pulpits that don't even know the fundamentals of the faith that can determine a soul's eternity. But we're popular and we write books and everybody feels good and nobody rocks the boat. Angels are in, but nobody seems to believe in the demonic anymore. Angels are cool, but we don't deal with devils anymore. Heaven is in. Everybody goes there. There's even a song about hillbilly heaven. I'm from Kentucky. If there's a hillbilly heaven, I got a front row seat. Can you say amen? I dreamed I was there in hillbilly heaven. Every singer that's ever sung country music, amen, down through the years, ends up where? Hillbilly heaven. Don't matter about their faith, trusting Christ, following Christ, live like the devil. What happens when you die because there's a hillbilly heaven? You end up in hillbilly heaven. Amen. Almost everyone who dies ends up in heaven. Do you ever notice that? I'm not mean at funerals. But if I don't know where someone is, you'll hear me talk about heaven and the Christian faith and talk very little about the person. Because I don't know where they went. I know you can't get there any other way but through Jesus Christ. And I know you can't get there after you draw your last breath. You got to do it while you have your faculties and you can make choices. Can you say amen? Amen? I've been in too many rooms with tattooed guys that had big biceps that had destroyed their liver through drugs who were afraid of facing eternity without God and crying out, amen, for Jesus to come and secure them for eternity. It's one thing to stand with all your friends in this world and people out there with big mouths and big egos filled with pride, reading the bumper stickers that say, you know, hell don't want me in heaven is afraid I'll take over. I wouldn't want to go into eternity with an attitude like that. I'm glad that Jesus is the Lord of my life. The greatest decision I ever made, other than marrying Pamela, amen, was to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Can you say amen? I'm glad that old account was settled a long time ago. And I'm glad that the journey is getting sweeter every day. As the darkness gets darker, the light is such a comfort to me. His word is not something that boxes me in. It's something that keeps me, amen, in the path of righteousness. It's a lamp to my feet. And it's a light to my pathway. And if they want to teach Buddhism right in there and try to integrate it with Christianity, we're going to have to rip this Bible up. We're going to have to chop it up, edit it, cut it up. Can you say amen? But if we leave the Bible where it is, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Through this man is preached unto you the remission of sins. Amen. How can you be so sure? Number one, we've got a book that the world has hated, that has tried to destroy, debunk from day one. But it's still here today in its entirety. I don't know if you appreciate it, but I'm glad that I can read amen, what they read 2,000 years ago, and it fit like a perfect fitting glove, praise God. Can you say amen? It fits every need of my life. It gives me the way of salvation. It introduces me to a living God. Hallelujah! I heard about him in Sunday school, but at 21, going on 22, I met him, praise God. Church can't save you, but Jesus can. Praise the Lord, and Jesus will. Listen to me carefully. We're in the last of the last days, and there are signs. Not just in the sun, and signs in the moon, and signs in the weather. Actually, you know what the weatherman said? The weatherman on Moody Radio that comes on. Remember that guy? He comes on. He's an actual weatherman, but he also works with Moody. So he's obviously got a faith-based Alan Winfield. And he comes on, and they ask him a question. Now, I want to be careful, because we love the sensational stuff, and a lot of times we miss the most significant stuff we need to see. He said, are all the tornadoes and the earthquakes and all of that, are they happening with more frequency? And he said, not necessarily. These things go through cycles. You can track them historically and statistically. Sensationalism is going to tell you, look at that earthquake. Look at that tornado. Well, that's been happening. And they go through cycles. Cataclysmic events go through cycles. So he said, and another thing we have today that we didn't have 50 years ago is the fact that when something happens anywhere in the world, you see it immediately on a television screen. Amen? So we're more informed. Things used to happen, we never heard about it in our little town, our little area of the world. Now, because of satellite TV and the technology that we have, it's everywhere immediately. So the church is kind of wanting to be stimulated by something other than some of the spiritual signs in the church. What are the signs in the church? That day, when the Antichrist is manifest, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. What will precede that day that begins all of this that leads into the great tribulation? A falling away. We're seeing it right now. On the way in, I heard of a split. I rejoiced. I heard of a church split. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When the church denomination leaves the Bible and follows error, it's time, it's split. And the people that love God and love truth come out of it. Amen. Can you say amen? Unity at the cost of truth is nothing more than heresy and treason against God and insurrection. Hello? Aren't you glad you're here tonight? Listen to me. I rejoiced when I heard that there's a split from a major denomination, because they're ordaining that to bishop and leadership and ministry what God has called an abomination and a sign of a nation and nations in decline. And so they started another organization that still believes the Bible and believes we shouldn't quit following the teachings in order to accommodate a culture that is going away from God, to accommodate all manner of sin and allow it to take place, promote it, and provoke it. And there's another independent organization of the same denomination cranking up, and another church just came out of that and joined this movement within the denomination that says, we're going to go back to the Bible. We're going to preach it, stand on it, stand up for it, even in this generation, in this culture. And the pastor that led his congregation out said, it was like a breath of fresh air to be able to identify with people that still believe that God's word is true Amen. And that we should follow it even in the postmodern world in the 21st century. And I say thank you, Jesus, for a church splitting. The lines are being drawn. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Amen. It's what needs to be preached from the pulpits in America. Amen. What is the sign in the church? The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, the last days, some shall depart from the faith. What faith? The faith that was once delivered to the saints. You know why I'm old school? I'm old school and proud. Everybody say, he old school and proud. Hallelujah. You know why I'm old school? Because there's no new school. Can you say amen? There is no other gospel that anybody can preach but that has been preached. Can you say amen? There's one God, Brother Taylor, and one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this room tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I'm not looking for a big offering. Amen. I'm not looking tonight for a hand clap, although I really enjoy it when it happens. I would preach this if you all looked ugly at me. And believe me, I've seen some hard looks while preaching this book. And they didn't come from the world alone. What shocked me about ministry was this book and this Lord, what it says, many people that claim to be His children and love Him don't like to hear. There's signs in the church, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin then can be revealed. This is the day of the deception that I have warned you of, saith the Lord. This is the day when only my truth will keep you safe. You are no match in and of yourself for the enemy that seeks to deceive you. So therefore put on my armor and let your loins be girt about with truth, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the truth on Sunday morning. I don't want somebody to soft pedal God's word in a day like this. I don't want a physician that finds a tumor pressing against my spinal cord or brain that at any time could throw me into a coma and death. And because I planned a vacation to somewhere or cruise, say, you know, I really don't want to upset Robert. I know his heart's set on going on this cruise. That tumor really needs to come out of there. It would probably kill him. He'll probably get halfway through the cruise and they'll find him dead in the bed. But, you know, I really don't want to offend him. He's going to be so disappointed if I tell him about that. I really don't want to talk about anything that's going to upset him. I don't want a doctor like that. If I got a tumor and I need surgery to get that sucker out, I don't want to go on the cruise. Amen? I don't want to be lied to. I want somebody, amen, that'll be forthright with me and say, listen, sir, you got a tumor. You need to have it removed. I don't want to go to church where sin is attached to me that's going to destroy my life and put my soul in jeopardy and have a preacher telling me that God's going to just look over it and you're going to make it anyway. I want him to tell me the truth because I want to end up in heaven when I die. I don't want to end up in hell. Eternity's too long. Can you say amen? We don't even talk about it. You'd think if I ever wrote a book, you know, when I sit in my rocking chair and write a book, which would be never, but if I ever did, you know what one of the chapters would be? Whatever happened to heaven? What happened to heaven? Lay up your treasures in heaven. Amen. For where a man's treasure is, there his heart's going to be also. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above. and not the things of the earth, and set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth. I would have a chapter on whatever happened to heaven. What happened? Amen. The only time you hear, you have to go to a funeral to hear a good sermon on heaven. Can you say amen? Honey, we ought to hear about heaven more often, and somebody ought not have to die. Every one of us ought to be getting excited about the prospect of going to that city and living with God forever. Can you say amen? This world is passing. That's eternal. I'd have another chapter. You know what it would be? Whatever happened to hell? You'd think there was no place like that. You'd think it did not exist. And if it does exist, nobody's going to end up there. The Bible said, not only does it exist, but since it was created for the devil and his angels, and God didn't, amen, plan a place of punishment and banishment just for mankind. He planned our salvation. If we go there, we choose to go there. God's choice is to save us. Can you say amen? But the Bible said hell has had to add on. There's been people think that heaven is the only thing I go to prepare a place for you. Listen, hell hath enlarged itself, the scripture declares, to receive the nations that have rejected God. God didn't intend for us, any of Adam's race, to be in that place. This was a place for angels that sin to end up, not man. God planned our salvation, and He planned it through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the spirit that's working is not anti-God in the generic sense, nor anti-religion at all. The spirit that works is singular, specific. It's anti-Christ, the Messiah. Preach any religion you want, and find, by and large, the world opening its arms to you and saying, hey, different strokes for different stroke folks. Protect your rights. But start preaching Christ, and it's like going out to a hornet's net and smacking it with a stick. They want to sting you. They want to hurt you. The most venomous words I've ever heard hasn't been against Buddhism or Muhammad or Krishna. It's always Jesus that stirs this thing up. By the way, if you think Jesus came, amen, to just call everybody into some kind of false unity, amen, at the cost of truth and souls, you're wrong. He said, don't think that I have come to earth in my initial coming, amen, to bring peace to the earth. But I came to bring a sword, and I came to set at variance. Amen. Thank God the battle lines are being drawn. I'm kind of glad it got so bad. Christians are going to have to either go with it or get out of it. But you can't stay on the fence anymore. Can you say amen? I'm glad about the controversy. I'm glad about the splits. I'm glad about pastors and people that are saying, if the church goes south, I'm going north. I don't mean geographically. I'm talking about spiritually. If the church don't believe the Bible anymore, I'm going to find a church that does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If the preacher won't preach the Bible anymore, I'm going to find a preacher that will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want the truth. I can handle the truth. The truth set me free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Didn't hurt me, didn't harm me, didn't put me in a box. My son was an alcoholic, acute alcoholism, PK, 3 decades, going on 29 years. Got a picture of him on Facebook, and he's cooking out. He loves to chill and grill. Everybody say chill and grill. Anybody know anything about chilling and grilling? Chilling and grilling, yeah. He know about chilling and grilling. Of course, he's not chilling while he's grilling, because they work him like a horse. Can you say? He's sweating and grilling. He said, Dad, because God set him free after all of those years. God set him free. He's been locked up in mental places twice, where he was under lock and key. 2 times I've been to the hospital with him for alcohol poisoning, where he almost drank himself to death. He said he didn't see any way out of that prison. Grew up in church, grew up in Sunday school. but didn't see any way out. He couldn't see. The God of this world, the Bible said, does what? He blinds the minds of men, lest they would see what? The glory of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil keeps telling them, number one, there's no way out. Number two, you really don't want out. Because what are you going to go from this to? You're going to just go from this fulfillment that you're trying to fill in this to some kind of emptiness in religion. No, this is not an empty religion. This is a relationship with the Savior. Can you say, man, that fills the deepest longings of your soul? Told the woman at the well, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you'd ask me, I'd give you living water. You would never thirst again. Can you say, man? And she said, sir, give me this water. Satan defied us for almost 30 years. Every time I preached faith, a flag would go up. And the devil would say, hey, you've been believing for your son. Ain't nothing happened. I still hold him. 5 years pass. I'm teaching on intercession. Here's that little light flashing over here. Hey. Intercession, yeah, right. You've been interceding for 5 long years, and he ain't saved yet, and they're getting tired of hearing, pray for my son, pray for my... You talking faith, you preaching intercession, why don't you just give it up? Why don't you quit that God stuff? Why don't, and define me through him. 10 years go by. 15 years go by. 20 years go by. We're pushing 30 years of intercession. And when it got down to the... They asked me, I'd meet at a pastor's meeting every Tuesday. Those pastors got excited to hear of answered prayer. I tell you, there's so little of the manifestation of the power and presence of God. If you get something happening, really happening, that says, God did it. Ears perk up. Because there's so much praying that seems to be just going out there, not connecting. God heard the first prayer. God never turned a deaf ear to a prayer of intercession for a soul's salvation. But God is dealing with a person with a will of their own that he will not force. But he never gives up if we don't back off. God won't give up if we won't back off. Can you say amen? And when it got down to the last, where it just seemed like such a... You pray for 28 years for something, you see nothing. Amen. It got down to where, why bother praying anymore? Why bother using faith anymore? But my son's soul is worth the extra effort. I had heard a tape that somebody gave me years ago. Actually, it was part of a testimony with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Because there's a young black man, he may not be young anymore, depending on how young to these people. Everybody's old but them. But, I mean, to me, if he's 40, he's young. But to them, if he's 40, he's old. I can't imagine what they think of me. At 63, can you say amen? Buzzards just, waiting outside, hanging out in the trees out there. Saying, boy, it won't be long now. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. This lady, all these people singing in this choir, the majority of them have come right off the streets, right out of drug addiction, right out of alcoholism. And here they are. They're not just singing pretty. They represent what God can do with a life that's really turned over to him. The supernatural power of God, not to just forgive sin, but to set us free from Satan's prison house. Jesus' anointing is to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised. And I listen, there was a woman with 2 children, and this man didn't live at home, but he would just come home to steal from her, to steal food from his children, to go out and use every penny and every ounce of his energy to get drugs. He slept on a bench at a bus stop just down from the church. The church started praying for him. She started praying for him. And they began to really turn that intercession on. And she said, I bound him to my heart. I bound him to my heart. And I told my children, we will not eat a meal that we don't pray for his salvation. We won't just say, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for this food. No, we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Save and deliver my husband. And they would say, save and deliver my daddy. 3 meals a day, 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You say, Brother Bill, you need to get somewhere. You need to get in some intense thing. Just bind something to your heart and commit yourself. If it takes 30 years and whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, you don't back up. You don't lighten up. You don't let a day go by that you don't intercede. There's power in intercession. Praise God. I said there's power in it. Praise the Lord. God said, I wanted to show mercy, and I looked for a man to do what? Stand in the gap and do what? Make up the hedge. Can you say amen? Sin, amen, creates a great gap. His hand is not short that he can't save. His ear is not heavy that he can't hear. But sin separates us from our God. Legitimately, he can't just help people that he loves unless someone stands in the gap. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! And makes up the hedge. The devil wanted it, Job, but he said, I can't touch him. There's a hedge around him. There's a wall of righteousness that I can't penetrate. Intercessors, stand in the gap. Intercessors, make up the hedge. Woo! I believe my son would have been dead and destroyed long ago if it wasn't for standing in the gap and making up the hedge. Praise God. Don't back off of your prayer life. Don't back off of intercession. Can you say amen? After all of those years, I'd be sitting in a burger stand. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Sanctify it to our bodies and our bodies to your service. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, save and deliver my son. They asked me, those pastors said, what were you doing? And the weeks just before it happened, I said, I bound him to my heart like that lady, because that lady bound him to her heart. And one day in the middle of a service, a man came in the church. He ran forward and said, I've got to have God. I can't live like this anymore. And he bowed at the altar and received Jesus as his personal Savior. And it was that man, so out of his mind, so bound by sin and Satan. And there he was at an altar, amen, praying for salvation, repenting of his sin. And a young black man in a beautiful pinstripe suit, amen, walked forward, took the mic to sing a solo part in that choir, and sang like a beautiful voice trained whatever you call him, amen, singer, amen. And there's this guy, and I look at him and I can't imagine him so bound by sin, so into drugs, destroying his life, amen. And I said, Lord, if you can do that for him, instead of backing off after all these years, I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to turn it up. Praise God. If we're going to fight for a soul, let's get in this thing, amen, and turn it up and pour it on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! The Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's the real deal. Praise God. Hallelujah. When God set my son free, he became free indeed from alcohol. Amen. They gave him, the doctor gave him something to take. He said, Dad, I don't need it. I've been waiting for the delirium tremors. I've seen people strapped to a bed in a hospital. The bed shaking as their body reacted to withdrawal. My son was so addicted to alcohol, he said, I would eat a meal and I could see the bones from a steak, but I couldn't remember eating it because everything was obliterated by the alcohol. Let me tell you something. He said it was so great to cook out, eat a steak, baked potato and a salad, get up the next morning with a clear mind and remember how good that steak was. He said, Dad, I kept waiting. Amen. He just called for his 90 days freedom from alcohol. He said, I can walk down the aisle in a grocery store and walk by it, and I'm not drawn to it. Amen. He said, I didn't have any delirium tremors. I haven't had any withdrawal symptoms. Amen. After almost 30 years of acute alcoholism, I said, Son, the Bible said, whom the Son sets free. The Son does it. Come on, not the church, the preacher. The Son does it. He's free indeed. Somebody give God praise to this place. I can't help but shout about that. Woo! No, I don't want no blended gospel. I want the truth. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. By the way, it's not just knowledge of the Bible alone that constitutes truth. The truth is personified. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Can you say, man, I am the way, not a way, like Oprah says? Can you say, man, but I am the way? I am the truth, and I am the life. Hallelujah. And no man comes to the Father but by me. But if we come by Him, amen. Praise God, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Such a vacuum for the supernatural power of God setting people free. But to see it happen, to witness it firsthand, and to know the devil is on the defensive because he understands. And you know what? When he goes on the defensive, he gets aggressive. He considers his best defense a good offense. More hell is broken loose than you could imagine after seeing this breakthrough. I've never been so close and discouraged in pastoring and ready to just throw in the towel till after this breakthrough. And you'd think that it would be just a rocket taking off. Everybody's not excited about the supernatural anymore. So many people are so earthbound and so involved in the activities of life, hearing about a great victory, they seem impervious to it. It's amazing that our lives get so empty of the real, genuine power of God. And we get so wrapped up in ourselves and our life that somebody else's victory is meaningless to us. Honey, it means something to you if you ever need God to come through for you. To know that He still does it. Prayer still works and God still honors His word. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was asked when I worked those 12 years, I was asked one of those many thousands of questions they asked me. Doesn't it say that the truth will make you free? I said, no, it does not. It says if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And then it'll go to work in you. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And that truth, because you've opened your heart and life to it, you've bowed to it, you want it more than you want anything else in this world, it'll set you free. Can you say amen? If you what? Continue in my word. That's why you can't just get a promise box and paste some promise on your refrigerator and stay out of church and out of the Bible and off your knees. And I don't mean just praying. I mean bowing before God. Amen. You got to want this truth to be in you. You got to want to follow it. You got to want, amen, God's truth more than you want your way. You got to want God's truth more than you want to be petted. Amen. Truth ain't going to set you free from your sin and yourself and your old weak flesh. Amen. If it's presented in some way to where it never bothers you. Truth ought to be a nail that helps you crucify the flesh. Yes. If you ever really want to deny yourself and take up your cross, God will hand you the nail. Amen. You say, you serious about that? Here. Give you the hammer too. His truth is a nail. I'm your hammer. Because I hammer it home every Sunday. But I don't just hammer it in you, darling. I'm hammering it in me too. Praise God. I want to live my life. I want to walk in the Spirit. because I just don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Never brought me satisfaction. Amen. Never brought me salvation. Never brought me God's peace or God's joy. Following Jesus is the only thing that ever fulfilled me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're so busy. Our time, our life, our thoughts are so focused on the immediate things. We're missing the signs that are in the church, and they're warnings to us. That day will not come except that it happens in the church. When I pick up a paper from this week and read about a mainline denomination that is putting Buddhism alongside and said it will help you because it is a flexible religion. In other words, you can fit it right in with your Christian faith and it will just flow right along beside of it. And I thought, no, you can't bow to some pot-bellied Buddha. Amen. While bowing simultaneously to the one who said, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and if any man comes any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. Your sin was judged in Jesus. And he makes no apology for claiming to be the way, truth, and life. Larry King asked another minister, and I forget his name, wish I could remember it, but he was on Larry King some years ago, actually. And he asked him, says, don't you think that it was prideful of Jesus? Don't you think it's awful prideful of Jesus to say he's the only way to God? And I love the answer. The guy didn't have to think. He didn't blink. He looked right at the camera and Larry King and said, not if it's true. It's not pride if it's true. It's just true. Can you say amen? Don't you think it's prideful of Jesus to claim to be the only way to God? He said, not if it's true. Can you? And it is true. Praise God. Hallelujah. Christians need to quit backing up and get some backbone and stand up because souls are on the line. And there's one God and one mediator between God and man. How many know his name tonight? Praise God. Bless his holy name. You know, let me finish with this. In the book of Acts chapter 4, there's a healing, and everybody loves a healing. Amen. But it confirmed a message. The healing wasn't just a man getting supernaturally healed by God. It was confirming the message that was being preached and proclaimed. That Jesus is the Messiah. He is the only way to God. And God has raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And the man at the gate, beautiful, God healed. He ran into the church leaping and praising God. And the next thing that happened was, amen, the leadership of that church was called by the religious leaders of that day, and they would have killed them outright, just like they killed Jesus, except they feared the people, and they could not deny that a notable miracle had been wrought by the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And all the people knew that guy had never walked, and now he's walking. And by the way, just hang on for just a couple of minutes. Amen. When Peter and John walked by, they didn't ask him to put something in their pocket. Because Jesus bought what they were going to give him at Calvary. Can you say amen? He didn't have to sow no seed to get healed because the seeds for his healing was sown by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah! When is the church going to wake up? Silver and gold have I none. Why? Because you can't buy this stuff. You were not redeemed with silver and gold. But with the precious blood of a lamb, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. This ain't like your daddy's done it. This ain't after the tradition of your fathers that thought they could buy this thing. No, it's not for sale. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And taking him by the wrist and lifting him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I didn't buy my son's salvation by writing no check to nobody. I interceded for him. I got down in the ring with the devil in spiritual warfare. And the victory that I was seeking was paid for by Jesus at the cross. You know what he said at the cross? Tetelestai. one word in the Greek that took three English words to translate clearly to us. And it meant, it is accomplished. Praise God. And the reverberation of those words have come all the way to the 21st century. It was done. Hallelujah. And if you want to put it in the financial arena, it's what they stamped in those days on a mortgage when you paid off your house or your land. You know what they stamped on it with their stamp? Tetelestai. And you know what it meant? Paid in full. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe in the shed blood of Jesus. I believe in what it did then, and I believe in what it's doing now. Can you say amen? Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Such as I have, I'll live to give it away. Let Christians support the gospel, but let the gospel be given as we got it. Freely you've received. Freely give. Don't put a price tag. You don't try to market what he bought with his suffering on that cross. You don't put a price tag on it. There is no price tag big enough. You couldn't buy one drop of that blood with all the money in the universe. Hallelujah. But it's ours as a free gift because God so loved that he gave. Can you say, man? Such as I have, give I thee. Hallelujah! That's how we got it, and that's how we're supposed to give it away. Won't your children say, write me a check? No, do battle with the devil. Put on God's whole armor and stand in the gap and make up the hedge. You don't buy them with the ransom of silver and gold. You plead the real ransom price for them. Plead the blood of Jesus. Everybody say, plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Hallelujah. God is a gracious, good God. Amen. There are tapes you need to take a hammer to. Don't give them to somebody else. Destroy them. Can you say amen? How dare us? How dare us package, market, sell what he paid for at Calvary? Holy, because nobody did that ever. But when you're filled with greed, avarice, and when you mind the things of the flesh, you see the Bible in a perverted way. You don't see it in its clarity. But they that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. You read that same scripture, you don't see the wealth of man. You see the riches of Christ. Can you say, man? I said you see the riches of Christ. Whew. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all of your need according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. Your greatest need is to be happy in Jesus and content with what you have. Godliness with contentment is true riches. That's the great gain. People that's got Jesus and looking over the fence at the Joneses who don't know Jesus, but they got a bigger house, there's something bad wrong with your theology and your faith. We brought nothing into this world. Here's a news flash. You're taking nothing out. Can you say amen? Your lamps aren't going. Your Italian marble's not going. Can you say amen? It's not going. That chandelier, it ain't going. That diamond ring, that big rock, it ain't going. That Rolex, ain't going. Oh, but they buried him in it. That's all right. When the resurrection comes, he ain't going to need the Rolex because time is going to be no more. And there ain't nobody to show off to in heaven. I heard a story, and it's just a story because it couldn't possibly be true biblically. So it's just a story to prove a point. This guy dies, and he's a very rich man. He put all his riches in gold because of the bad economy. He had tons of gold. The angels came for him as he was dying. He said, I got to take these two suitcases. I can't leave without these suitcases. The angel said, if you can carry them, bring them. So they took him up. You know, they're all grown and about to, you know, to pull him on up because he's carrying these two suitcases full of gold bars. He stands there at the gate and Peter meets him. And Peter comes and says, what's the suitcases for? He said, I just couldn't leave without it. He said, what you got in there? And the guy says, oh, wait till you see. And he opened both suitcases up and there was pure gold sparkling bullion. And Peter looked at him and said, you brought pavement? Streets of solid gold. What does the gold mean when they pave the streets with it? I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven tonight. I'm glad I'm not looking over the fence at the whoever's. I'm glad I know who I have in Jesus and what I have in Jesus. And I've got food at home. Let me got food at home. Hallelujah. I got raiment. I got clothes for my back. I got a roof over my head. Hallelujah. And I've got Jesus in my heart and heaven for my home. And I'm happy with what I have. I could use a bigger closet, to be quite honest. For Pamela's shoes. For Pamela's shoes. All God's chilling got shoes. Listen, for me, this house was built in the 50s. In the 50s, you had one suit. And, you know, it was a whole different world back then. Cokes were this big. Can you imagine a 6-ounce Coke? I mean, you know, you drink it and say, okay, where's the rest of it? I'm so glad to be saved. I'm so glad to understand, appreciate. Sign of the church is a falling away, and we're seeing it. It's going to be shocking. It's going to rock us, but we're going to watch it. It's unraveling right now. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I've never seen the Word of God so abused and misused. And it doesn't surprise me that there are people that will do that. What is really shocking and still takes me back is that so many people that claim to be followers of Christ will follow them instead of Him. Can you say amen? They don't even know what he teaches because all they listen to is their tapes and their take on it. And we used to criticize the Catholic Church for reading the Bible in Latin so nobody could understand it and they were forbidden to read it for themselves. We got it in plain English and we are commanded to read it for ourselves so that we can check them out. But we're so swayed by their personality and presentation, we don't bother to read it and check them out because they're telling us what we want to hear. The Bible said the time will come, last day stuff again, when men will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Amen. The reason Timothy was discouraged and his gifts were suppressed within him and had given up on preaching until Paul encouraged him with a letter was that he was preaching truth and down the street they're preaching error and they left him and the truth and ran off the error. So he just got discouraged and said, I won't do it anymore like Jeremiah in the dungeon. 1,500 preachers leave the ministry a month. 17,000 a year walk away from pulpits. That's an amazing, true statistic. Why do they do it? Because the love of many is waxing cold. When you preach devotion to Christ to people who don't love Him, they don't want to hear it. They see it as a responsibility, not a great privilege and honor. They don't want to deny themselves. They want to gratify themselves. Don't even talk about taking up a cross in order to follow Him. Amen? They look at me like I'm nuts for preaching what Jesus taught clearly. The Bible said, go and make disciples unto me of all nations. Not just get people in church and get them blessed, but get them committed and devoted enough and appreciate me enough to follow me. Hallelujah. It's tough to preach about a Jesus that people have fallen out of love with and are no longer devoted to. Amen? It's getting tougher. But I know no Jesus that is so devalued that he isn't worth a total commitment. I don't know that Jesus. I don't know that Jesus. My Jesus is valuable. And he's worth your commitment and your devotion. And he's worth mine. Can you say amen? I bought a debt I couldn't pay, and it was growing every day. Jesus paid it all for me. Can you say amen? We should be reciprocating love to him. I believe America is the next great mission field. I believe it, Jimmy. I believe there will be Chinese Christians come to America to try to stir comfortable saints sitting in huge edifices called churches. Amen. Listen, they're already looking at us and saying, how in the world can American, who used to be the springboard for the gospel to the nations of the world, what has happened to the Christian faith in America? Why are they not following through? Why are they so given to pleasure? Why does the church have to be so accommodating to even get them to come and worship their God? We never did get to the Enoch generation. Now we'll get into that study. No, I'm just kidding. I love you tonight. I want to challenge you tonight as I challenge myself. I want a brand new zeal to follow Christ. I want a brand new zeal to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. God said, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I didn't find any. Amen. Satan said, I would destroy. I can't touch Job. I can't touch a thing he's got because you've got a hedge around him. Can you say, man, a wall of righteousness surrounds him. There was a day when that wall surrounded this nation. You know what we sung during those wars? Over there. Over there. Because it all took place over there. God hedged in this nation. In Ruth's home country, England, sirens would go off. They had to go to shelters during World War II, not America. You slept every night in a shelter. We don't know anything about that. Because around this nation that God put his hand on, there was such a hedge, a wall of righteousness surrounded us. The Japanese got to Midway Island, headed for Hawaii and then the west coast of America. And there was a battle at Midway that God put his hand on to win because they put every kind of plane they could find up in the air. Amen. And a battle was won with a ramshackle group, not a big planned thing with all the things they needed, but just something they threw together to try to stop this continuing march toward our mainland. And at the Battle of Midway, the Japanese fleet was defeated, and that march forward was stopped dead. Why? Because of God. We had on our coinage. We had on our money. Amen. Not in money we trust. Not in materialism we trust, but in God we trust. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And people were praying. The church used to could get a prayer through. And it made a difference. Praise God. We love you tonight. Have you learned anything? The sign in the church is the falling away. False prophets deceiving. Love of many waxing cold. Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. Leaving the faith that was once delivered to the saints. These are the signs in the church that the coming of Christ and the manifestation of the Antichrist is very near. So to take away from here tonight, keep your heart with all diligence, because Satan's after the heart. Make no mistake about it. Who you love is who you're going to bow to. What you love is what you're going to give your energy to. Amen. You're going to find the time for what you love. Make no mistake about it. You will find time for what you love. You will make time for what you love. Love is a passion that'll drive you. If you love sports, you will sit in sub-zero temperature with a wind chill of 10 below to watch with no shirt on, some of those crazy cheesehead Wisconsin Green Bay fans. Can you say amen? Cheeseheads will sit in 10 below and pay to get in. Get in Florida where you don't cost you nothing to come to church, air conditioned. A little cloud comes over. Oh my gosh, it may rain. It might rain. We'd best not get out. We're going to get pneumonia. It's not pneumonia you have, darling. What you have is a heart that's looking for some excuse because you've lost your first love. God's house, God's word, God's people, and God's praise has no real place. And anything, it won't take much to keep you out of God's house, God's praise, God's word, and God's people. Can you say amen? Every lame excuse, I got to go bury my daddy. Well, let the dead bury their dead and come to church. That's what Jesus taught, because he knew their daddy hadn't died. He knew it was a lame excuse. God's not unreasonable. He knows the lame excuses when he hears them. I bought some land and I got to go see it. Boy, have I got a deal for you. Can you say, man, you bought a pig and a poke? You bought land, you ain't even seen it? Yeah, I want to sell you a bridge in Brooklyn. I want to sell you some prime land in the Everglades. Amen. I've bought them and haven't proven them. I mean, lame excuses. And God accepts none of them. He says, you're backslid in heart. You don't love me. Why don't you face reality? Because that can change if you will admit it and quit coming up with these lame excuses. Well, I would have been in church, but you know I had this going on. Well, of course, that takes precedence over God's house when he says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. It don't matter what he says. Makes no difference if you don't love him. It just don't matter what he says. I can preach it till I'm blue in the face and the veins stand out and my blood pressure spikes. And you know what? It ain't going to make a bit of difference if you don't love God. I don't want to preach to 1,000 people that don't love God. I'd rather preach to 15 that do, because those 15 can stand in the gap and make up a hedge while the 1,000's at the ball game. There's nothing wrong with the ball game as long as it's not before God Almighty. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? Brother, would you come? Let's give him some praise before we leave here. You never give up on me. Would you do that one more time tonight? I'm hooked on that song. Because God never gave up on me and never gave up on Alan, my son. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad my son is set free tonight. I want to see. It just makes me want to see people set free. It makes me want to see Christians get back in a place of faith and fervor and ardent love for Jesus. Amen. That we get the joy of our salvation back. Praise God. We get our houses in order. We get the kingdom first so God can do big things in us and big things for us and bigger things through us. Can you say amen? Somebody give him a hand clap tonight. He's a gracious and good God. Would you stand to your feet? The altars are open. If God is convicting you, you are welcome to come. But I don't beg for Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm looking for people to run to altars and be glad to get saved. Not have to pry them loose from the like a barnacle from a boat to get them to turn the world loose and consider not going to hell. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We don't preach like that anymore. We're not beggars for Jesus. When real revival comes, they'll run to altars. When real revivals came in past generations, the Bible said they ran to altars as if the flames of hell were lapping at their heels and they were afraid if they drew a last breath before getting there, they'd be lost. And God saved them, and when he saved them, it changed them. And he not only saved them, made many of them preachers of the gospel. Hallelujah. God is a good God, and you've come for prayer. Let's believe him tonight. All right. Okay. Okay. I hope they do, because we're going to embrace people that are bound and tell them what God can do. Got a Baptist preacher. My son don't even know it yet. It'll probably scare his socks off. But they've got a Baptist preacher who wants him to come and testify what God did for him. He wants his congregation to hear that God still delivers people. Praise God. Got people in his congregation bound. And they can't see any way to be delivered. But he wants them to hear God can set you free. Jesus can do what he promised. Hallelujah. It actually works. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand this way. I believe God's going to send us some people bound by sin. And we're going to embrace them. And we're going to love them. And we're going to tell them who Jesus is and what he stands ready to do in their life. Can you say amen? And we want an anointing to flow here. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't want a discouraged preacher up here. We want a preacher up here that's ready to go another round with the devil, praise God, for not just my kids and my family, but your kids and your family. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't want this church to grow with people from other churches that are satisfied to sit in those dead churches. I don't want them here. They will hinder what God wants to do. I want people that come here, amen, that want to be set free, praise God, so they can go out with a zeal and get other people set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand this way and let's believe God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bind her to your heart. I'm going to bind her to my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, we've come to stand in the gap. We've come to make up the hedge. We've come to plead the blood of Jesus that was shed so this could happen. We've come to claim the authority of the name of Jesus. Lord, send that mighty revival. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A leper can't change their spots. Oh, Baba Hosanna. But God who made the leper, Hanama, can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. Nothing impossible with God. And nothing impossible to them that believe. That believe that great truth about our God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that great truth? We bind Satan that has blinded her. Loose her. Let her go free. In the name of Jesus. For the glory of God. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Shelabakisandarabarotanabasata. Can you play? That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. Let's just do something entirely different tonight. If you have to go, you may. Thank you for coming.
Brother Beaton, a lady that we prayed for 2 or 3 weeks ago. She's having a surgery Thursday. The double mastectomy. Ashley, can we pray for her surgery?
A double mastectomy Thursday. Yes. And that's not the end. Yes. Just removing both breasts is not the end of treatment for cancer. It's actually only the beginning. But we're asking a great God to intervene. If it was my wife, I'd want some church and some preacher somewhere. Hallelujah, that could get hold of God. I said, if it was my wife and this great battle was beginning, I want somebody to get down to business and get hold of God. We need revival. We need the manifest power and presence of Jesus again. Hallelujah, we need miracles again. Lord, behold the threatenings of all the persecution, all of the deception, and stretch forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus, and our great Savior. Confirm your word with signs following again. Heal this woman. Heal this woman. Heal this woman. Let the cancer stop dead in its tracks. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and turn this test to a testimony as we stand in the gap and we make up the hedge. If you're looking for somebody, don't look any further than right here, right now. Well, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Hallelujah. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. Let's give Him glory. You can leave when you're ready. but we're praying for people.